Today is Palm Sunday. Today is what we are celebrating, the final entry that Jesus came into Jerusalem. And man, I'm excited about this message today. I hope that you have been thinking about what they call Holy Week coming up. And we were excited about the final entry into Jerusalem that Jesus came into there riding on a donkey. And, you know, get the general view here. Get the general ideal here today that Jesus came in to Jerusalem for the final time riding upon a donkey. And now the people of that time, they were looking. They were looking for a king. They needed a king. And they thought Jesus Christ was going to be an earthly king to them. They were so excited because, you know, the Roman government didn't really care about those people. The Roman government, you know, if you ever watch any kind of movies, the Easter movie, the older ones where they depict the Roman government, any little sign, any little whisper, any little hint of uprising, the Roman government would crush it. They would put a stop to it before it ever got big. But see, that's what they were living under power. They were living under authority. They were living under fear of the Roman government. So today, get the picture in your mind about Jesus Christ, why those people thought that, man, they were so excited. You know, we laid down these palm branches this morning. We laid down the palm branches. And it says in the Word of God that I think in Matthew's chapter 21, where it talks about Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and the people lined along the roads, and they laid down their cloaks, they laid down their palm branches, and because they gave Jesus the royal king treatment. Now, but keep in mind, he rode in on a donkey. What do kings normally ride on? They ride on horses. What do horses represent? They represent power. They represent war for the kings. But Jesus rode in upon a donkey. What does a donkey represent? This is some good stuff, kids. What does a donkey represent? A donkey represents humbleness. Now, you might not, I ain't never dealt with a donkey. Anybody in here ever dealt with a donkey? They say they're stubborn as a mule. They say they're a very stubborn animal. Is that true? Anybody know? But Jesus says that he came in riding in upon a donkey, a colt of a donkey, and that donkey is a beast. It says two things, a beast of burden, that's in the Word of God in Matthew's, a beast of burden and a beast of humility. Jesus showed that he came in to Jerusalem. He came to live amongst us, to walk amongst us, to love amongst us with humility. You know, humility, we're living in a time right now where humility is very in short demand, in short supply. Would you agree to that? We're living in a time right now when you don't see much peace in the world. But Jesus brought peace with him. Jesus still offers you peace today. How many have the peace of God in them today? How many? How many in the house of God have the peace of God in them? You know, I say this often. I talk a lot about the peace of God. You know, because if you don't have the peace of God in you today, you really don't have nothing. Amen? You don't. You don't have much at all. I can lay down at night knowing that I have the peace of God in my soul, in my spirit, in my being. And that's what Jesus came to offer mankind. He came to offer them peace. You know those people, it says in the Word of God in Matthew's chapter 21, it says those people lined the roadways and they shouted, "Hosanna, Son of David, in the highest." And you know what the word Hosea means? Have you looked it up and seen what the word Hosea really means? It means save us. They were calling out. They were shouting out, "Hosanna, Son of David, save us. Save us, Son of David. Save us, Hosanna." Because that's what that word means. It means to save. And Jesus came to do what? He came to save you. He came to save me. He came to fill your life with peace. He came to fill my life with peace. He came to fill you with His love. He came to fill you with forgiveness. He came to fill you with salvation. He came to give you the free gift of life. And He says, those that call upon the name of the Lord, they, even though they die, they shall live. Now, how great of a word is that to you today? I believe that's over in the book of John. It says, even though those that believe in me, even though they die, they yet shall live. How many want to live today? I know I get a lot of hands on this. How many want to live today? I'm not talking about just this life. How many want to live in the next life? All right then, here's what you got to do. You want to know how you live even though you die? You have to call upon the name of the Lord, and you have to believe in the name of Jesus Christ. You have to believe in the cross of Calvary. You have to believe that when Christ carried that cross down the Via Dolorosa all the way to the place they call Calvary, all the way to the place they call the skull where they hang criminals. You know that place was developed and created for criminals. They gave him a criminal's death. They prosecuted him and gave him a death sentence as a criminal, even though the man didn't do anything. He didn't do anything to deserve that. But yet, he walked all the way down the Via Dolorosa, carried his cross, and then he went all the way to the place called the skull, and they nailed him on the cross. You know, this morning, church family, he could have called down at any time a legion of angels. He could have called upon his Father, and that right there would have not have took place. But yet, he told Jesus, Jesus told his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not as my will, but let thy will be done. And he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, reckon why Jesus would say that. Yet let this cup pass from me. Was it because he didn't want to die on the cross? Was it because he knew what lay ahead of him? No, I won't tell you why he did it. I want to tell you why this morning. This always just gets me really, really happy, really excited. You know, I didn't, not long ago, and I say this all the time, not long ago, this could have made no difference to me. This could have made no difference to me at all. At one point in my life, I could have cared less if a man that says when they called Jesus was down on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it said he prayed so hard that drops, sweats of blood fell from his brow. That he was in such agony. That he was in such turmoil. And he looked up into the heavens and prayed unto his Father God. And he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But not as my will. Let thy will be done. Jesus knew there was a time coming. Jesus knew there was a time coming when God, His own Father, had to look away from Him so that He could take the sins of the world upon Him. Jesus took my sin. Do you know that Jesus took your sin today? Do you know that Jesus Christ took your sins upon Himself and went to the cross with them and let His life be taken from Him? So that you could go free, so that I could go free. You know, I don't deserve a thing this morning. But the Lord has given me more than what I could possibly imagine. People say, well, I hear all kinds of people tell me they're not happy. I hear all kinds of people, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough of this. I don't have enough of that. But you got more than what you possibly know you have this morning. Amen. Church family, you got more than what you know this morning. Blessed is the one that comes. Zechariah 9:9. It was prophesied. He prophesied, your king will come to you riding upon a donkey. He says, your salvation shall come to you. Your king shall come to you riding upon a donkey. A burden of beast. A beast of burden. I said that backwards. A beast of burden. Jesus took your burdens. He took my burdens so that I didn't have to, so that I don't have to today. How many people do you think today are burdened down? How many? How many people do you know that's burdened down today? Jesus came to save us. Jesus came to save us from our own selves. Man, my life was full of sin. My life was full of sin. But it says in the Word of God, those that call upon the name of the Lord and confess Him, it does. It says those that call upon the name of the Lord and confess Him as their Savior and King shall be saved. How great of a word is that to you today? How important to you today does that sound? What does that mean for you today? Those that call upon the name of the Lord and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Savior and King, even though they die, yet they shall live. Now, what better word can I give you this morning than that? You say, well, I like living my old sins. I like doing sin. I get a joy out of it. I like doing what I do. Well, I guess that's the way you think. But I like what I have. How many like what they have this morning? Everybody in the house of God, you know what? Today would be the greatest day of your life. You want to know what would be the greatest day of all time? Is if you come to this altar today, if you don't know the Lord today, I'm looking out across a congregation of saved people. But I don't know that, but I'm just saying, you look like you're saved. I see people back here in the back smiling. I see people laughing. It tells me they're in a good mood, they're in a good spirit. And it looks like we're all going to heaven. It looks like we're all going to heaven in the house of God right here. It looks like the people you work with, it looks like they all going to heaven. The people you meet at the gas station, the people you meet in the grocery stores, the people you meet in the banks, the people that you have dealings with in your own circles, they look like they all going to heaven. Don't they look like they all going to heaven? The people you go to school with, don't they look like they all going to heaven? He's like, I don't know about that, preacher. Only the Lord knows that. I don't know nothing this morning other than what the Lord tells me. What's required of you to go to heaven. The only way you're going to heaven today, the only way you're going to heaven today is by accepting the blood of Christ. The only way you're going to heaven today is by calling upon the name of the Lord and confessing that He is your King and your Savior, confessing that you're a sinner and you want to be forgiven of all your sins, you want to be forgiven of all your unrighteousness, and you want to go to heaven. How many want to go to heaven today? How many? That should be a good question. How many want to go to heaven today? I mean, I'm not talking about like right now. How many want to go to heaven someday when you cross over? Everybody's like, I don't know about today. But I guarantee you one thing. You better be ready. What if it was today? What if today's the only day you got left? You should be ready. And the only way to make sure you're ready, I want to see all my friends. I claim you as brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to see all the people I work with, even the ones I don't like. Preacher? Preacher, be careful. But I'm praying for her. Let me add that. Hey, don't be looking at me strange. Everybody's got somebody they don't like. But the Word of God says we need to pray for them. You need to pray for your enemies. The enemy's doing a good job this morning already destroying what he knows he can destroy. But the Word of God says we need to pray for our enemies. How are you going to win somebody over to Christ? You're going to pray for them. You're going to love them. You're going to love them into Christ. You're going to let your life reflect Christ so that they'll see Christ in you and they'll want to know, why are you so happy? Why are you so high-spirited all the time? What makes you different than me? Well, I got the blood of Christ covering my life. I got Christ Himself dwelling inside of me. He says, I stand at the door and knock. He says, any man open unto me, I'll come unto him, and I will sup with him, and he will sup with me. But you got to open the door. You got to open your heart to Christ before He'll come in. You've got to ask Him to come in. You've got to want Him to come in. You've got to let Him come in and take over. And He'll come in. And He will start to clean you up. He'll start to clean you out. He'll start to get out all that junk that's inside of you. He'll throw it out on the streets. He'll start putting it in trash bags. It'll be down at the landfill. Wherever He does with it, He'll get rid of it. And there'll be no more hindrances between you and God unless you put a roadblock in front of it. Unless you can't hold on to this world and live. Those who love their life shall lose it, but those who lose their life shall find it. That's what the Word of God tells me. Wow. Is this good to you this morning, church family? Do you like that word? Do you like hearing these things? All right. Now listen, I want to touch real quickly this morning on the palm branches. I want to tell you, why do we always cut and carry palm branches into the church? These palm branches symbolize the final victory. Praise God, hallelujah. These palm branches right here. You know all those religious leaders, those Sadducees and the Pharisees. You know the Roman government, even Satan himself. Man, they all thought, we got old Jesus. We got him. We doing away with him. Now things can get back to normal. Now we ain't got to be scared that we're going to lose all our power anymore and our authority. Now things can go like was planned before. Now we can just keep on doing people like we've always done them. These palm branches right here, as we wave them, is a symbol of the final victory. Do you know today, church family, that Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave for you and me? Amen? Can you say amen to that this morning, church family? Death, hell, and the grave. The final victory. And old Satan thought he had Jesus beat at the cross. But on the third day, it says in the Word of God that Jesus arose from the dead. Hallelujah, praise God this morning. Jesus arose from the dead victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Nobody has to die anymore. Nobody has to go to hell anymore. Nobody has to go without knowing who Jesus is anymore. Death, hell, and the grave. These palm branches symbolize the final victory that Jesus conquered on Calvary for you and me. And that's a great word. That's all I can say to you today. Are you glad I'm done? Praise God this morning. God is good to you this morning. God's good to us all the time. And we have to remember that. Where is your sting, O death? Where is your victory? Death don't have no victory no more. Death don't have no sting no more. Because Jesus Christ, those that are in Christ, Christ has taken that sting away. God, Christ has taken that death away. No longer will we lay in the grave. No longer. You're going to live. And you're going to rise up. Those that are in Christ, the day that He was risen up, the day you accepted Christ as your Savior, you have been risen up. The old man has passed away. All things are new. And aren't you glad today? Aren't you glad today to know that, to hear that? I hope that makes a difference in your life today. I don't want to be the same old man I used to be. I never want to go back. Those that lay their hand to the plow and look back are not fit for the kingdom of God. So once you take a hold of Jesus Christ, don't be looking back. It's all the way or nothing. As we pray today, listen, I don't know your heart. You are watching on Facebook today. You might be watching today. Man, you might be thinking about maybe the Lord's calling you. Maybe the Lord's dealing with your heart today. Maybe you're living in a world of sin that you just want to get out of. Well, I know somebody. I know somebody that can take all that sin away. I know somebody that can forgive you today. I know somebody that can change your life today. All you got to do is accept the blood of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, it's been an awesome morning. God, it's been such a great and glorified morning to be in your house today. Lord, we see in the work that you're doing in the house, in your house. We see in the work that you're doing outside in our lives, Heavenly Father. And God, I don't normally do this, but Lord, we don't know how much time we have left. We don't know when Jesus is coming back to claim the church, to claim those that are in Him. But God, if there be somebody here in the house today, Lord, there be somebody watching on Facebook today that's never made the decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I just pray right now, as we are praying, as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, God, I pray that they would just pray along. I pray, Lord, that they would confess that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. I pray, Heavenly Father, that they would confess their sins before Him. And I would pray right now, Lord, that they would just ask them to come in to their hearts, to their lives, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we just pray that you would cleanse them of all unrighteousness. And Lord, you take up residence inside of their being, inside their spirits, very depth of their spirits, Heavenly Father. And God, give them the free gift of life. Not just life on this earth, but the next life to come. And that's eternal life in your kingdom, in your Heavenly Father, God's kingdom. My Father, God, Abba Father, kingdom called heaven. And Lord, we thank you today for the word that's went out. We thank you for the day the word went forth. God, we pray that we take it out into the highways and the byways, Lord, and share it with a lost world that's living in a darkness, in a dark time, Heavenly Father. And God, we'll praise you, glorify, and lift up your holy name and give you all the praise. And these things we humbly ask now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.